You're tuned to 90.5 WICN, Jazz Plus for New England. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Listen online at WICN.org. Good evening, I'm Al Voner, and this is this week's edition of The Public Eye. So nice to have you with us. One thing that I've learned to really enjoy, because I think it really brings the human part of life right into your own living room, and that's reading personal memoirs, books about people's lives. Not everybody would ever want to put the facts about their life, the history of their life, between the pages of the book. But for those authors and for those people that do, it's always I always find it fascinating, and I learned so much, and I think many of you do too as well. So this week, that's exactly who we'll be talking with is Kelly Cervantes, the author of the new book, The Luckiest, a memoir of love, loss, motherhood, and the pursuit of self. And for the next half hour, we'll be talking with Kelly. And again, a personal memoir. We'll get into a little bit about the motivation for writing the book and the emotions that went into the book, and that's really what the that's really the high point of all of this is the the honesty and the the straightforwardness that goes into writing a personal memoir. As I said, not always easy. You can discuss with family and friends across the table from a cup of coffee, but putting it between the pages of a book and then putting it out there for the world, totally different scenario. Kelly, nice to have you with us.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm looking forward to chatting.
Well, this is the opportunity, because I never shut up, as my audience knows. No, but going back to what I said at the outset, personal memoirs. I would say in the course of a 52-week year, of the 52 shows we do a year here at WICN of the Public Eye, I'd say half a dozen of personal memoirs, and I'm always fascinated by one. The courage that it takes to put, your life or a part of one's life between the pages of the book and opening it up for the world. Secondly, I always seem to learn something by it. And most importantly of all, I find it so enlightening. You can have a bad day, and then all of a sudden you can read a personal memoir and you say, you're not the only one having a bad day. Some people have, everybody has good and bad in their life. There's periods when you feel like, where did I go wrong? Why aren't things working out? And then all of a sudden, there are those high points. So I always find it to also be very motivating and very interesting. But let me ask you directly, why did you write The Luckiest?
I wrote it for a handful of reasons. One being what you just sort of mentioned. I think we all go through crap in our lives, and sometimes we can feel so isolated in that. I started writing a blog years ago, and in writing that, I realized that I'm just not that special, and I mean that in the kindest of ways to myself. I am still special in all of the ways that, PBS's Mr. Rogers taught me that I am. But what I feel, my thoughts, my emotional experience is not unique to me. That is a human experience. And the more that I was able to share that and connect with other people, the more I felt compassion for myself, the more I felt that I could continue to push through the struggles that I was experiencing in my life. But there's another piece to it too, where I don't believe that anything in life happens for a reason, but I do believe that we can make reason out of the things that happen. And so writing this book in a way is helping me to make reason out of these things that have happened in my life, so that I can connect with someone else, so that maybe someone else feels less alone, so that I can highlight some of these experience or causes that are near and dear to me and try and lift them up and make reason out of some of the crappier things that happen in our lives and some of the wonderful things that happen as well.
Yeah, as I said, that's that kind of that roller coaster. You have those periods where you're dejected, you feel nothing's going your way, you have no friends, life isn't fair. But something else I thought was very interesting, because so many times I've had people in my life say, well, you know, that happens for a reason. That happens for a reason. And I don't always buy that. So I'm glad to see that I'm not.
I do not.
Yeah, nor I. So we're simpatico on that. But I just want to give listeners a sense of really the range and what's going on in the book, The Luckiest. And this is talking about various experiences that you personally had, motherhood, all the heartbreak, the joy, what goes in with that. This journey, you're from the Midwest, now living in the Northeast and on the eastern part of the country, change, the physical change. Not everybody can deal with that. Just the everyday ups and downs. So you must have gone through, as you were talking about, those emotions and felt that this was the moment, this was the time to put it between the pages of a book. And if that be the case, how did it help you?
It helped me immensely. So I was inspired to write this book. The format for the book. There's a quote by the poet Maggie Smith, and she says, "We are all nesting dolls carrying the previous iterations of ourselves inside of us." And I loved that because I have moved around a lot. I have had, I'm 43 years old and I'm on my fourth career, like wildly different career in massively different industries. And I see all of these layers of my life and how each of them has built on the one before. Yes, growing up in a conservative Midwest town and moving to Northeast Boston for college and then New York City afterwards. And then, working as an actress and then in hospitality and then having to give all of that up, setting my career aside because the exact same week in my life, my husband is cast as Alexander Hamilton in the Broadway and Chicago productions of the musical, and my daughter is diagnosed with epilepsy, and now I'm picking up and moving my family to Chicago, where we know almost no one, and I'm caring for my daughter and leaving my career behind, and so there is just, I wanted to get those layers of being a human. And I don't think that we are, there's one coming of age. I think we are constantly evolving and growing and, sort of becoming this next painted doll in the series of our lives. And as soon as I saw that quote, I was like, yes, I had been wanting to write this book, write this experience. And that quote sort of set me off on the path and the format that I wanted to utilize.
Yeah, I want to follow up on something that you said, because I think it really is an emotion that goes through every one of us at some point in our life. But I just want to take a quick pause to remind our listeners that you're tuned to 90.5 WICN, Jazz Plus for New England. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Listen online at WICN.org. This is The Public Eye. I'm Al Vona, your host. My guest this week is author Kelly Cervantes. Her new book, a personal memoir, The Luckiest, a memoir of love, loss, motherhood, and the pursuit of self. Kelly, something you just mentioned, and I think I've been there myself. I haven't made the major moves that you have. I'm talking about geographically, but just going from, where I was born, the city of Worcester, and just making moves just outside of that, buying that first house, bringing a child into the world. As you said, career changes. It creates so many layers. And for some people, it can be overwhelming. I think for most people, it can be overwhelming. But it's also a major learning experience. But what you had said, and I think that's part of this whole thing that I talk about, personal memoirs being inspirational, the courage. You were comfortable where you were born, but that didn't stop you from moving on. You made the next move. You developed friendships. And then you decided, it's time to uproot and move on for a new adventure. That takes courage. It takes, inspiration. And it takes somebody to another level. And I think each time that you experience something outside of your comfort zone, and I emphasize that, you end up learning so much more. But let me ask you, going back to all of this, was it difficult at any point? I mean, you've gone through many changes, emotional changes, physical changes, geographical changes. Was there ever a moment in your life where you said, if I don't get this out, if I don't get this off my chest, and I don't mean just talking to family or close friends, I mean putting it out there for the public at large, then I'll never be the person I anticipate being. I mean, has this book taken you to a level that you never thought you'd get to?
Absolutely. I have had this book in me for years. And I think this is maybe the third or fourth iteration of The Luckiest, and it's gone through different names, and my poor agent has been the only one that's had to read all of them. it's writing memoir is this tricky thing because you want to get it just right, and there's so many ways to tell the exact same story. And, you know, interestingly, I think when I started writing this, when I needed to get this story out, you know, the bulk of the book is really my family's time in Chicago, these wild 4 years where we are, my husband called it holding onto a rocket in one hand and a parachute in the other. We're just like on the Hamilton Musical Express and you know, trying to care for my daughter at the same time. And then all of the ups and downs that go through that. And I needed time and space in between this life experience in order to be able to write it with I think I needed a more healed perspective. In that time, I wrote a whole other book, Normal Broken, about, is more prescriptive. It had some memoir elements to it, but it was more prescriptive about grief. And then I was able, once I got that book out and I had done a lot of the personal healing that I needed to do, then I was able to sit down and write The Luckiest. And it was interesting because the pieces of the book that are perhaps the most emotional or the most difficult to read were not the most difficult for me to write because I had done the most amount of healing on the later years of my life. It was actually so much harder to go back to the younger versions of Kelly, teen, 20-something Kelly that I've not spent a lot of time with recently. And, you know, teens and 20-somethings aren't, that's not a version of myself that I am always the most proud of. And that it was nice to go back and spend time with her and have compassion for the decisions that she made and who she was at the time and appreciate that every single one of those decisions brought me to where I am today. And while there are numerous things I wish that I could change about the course of my life, every single one of them did bring me to where I am today. And if I'm being honest, the place I am today is really quite beautiful. The title of The Luckiest is a little bit ironic because I don't think that most people would look at my life and think that I am indeed the luckiest. And I don't think that I am the luckiest either, but I don't think that I'm the unluckiest. And I think that there is power in gratitude, but not a toxic positivity. I think what you said about courage and owning that courage and being grateful, but also giving ourselves credit for the courage that it does take to get from where we were to where we are.
I understood that right off the bat, and we don't know each other. I mean, this is the first time we've ever spoken, but the title right away, and especially after reading the book, I'm thinking, okay, you know, I think most people would put the book down and say, I probably would have given it another title, only because much of the book talks about the ups and downs of life that everybody mm-hmm. goes through. You have aspirations, as you said, early in life. They may or may not pan out. Many people look back and they say, oh, I'm a complete failure. You took a positive stance on this, and I think that's always, again, another reason why I think personal memoirs are terrific. You could have said the unluckiest and still mentioned positive parts of your life, but you took it the other way in saying, look, for whatever reason, there was good and bad, things we have no control over. And at this point in my life, I still consider myself a very lucky person. I'm here, I'm healthy, I have a loving family and so many other things. And many people, I think many people are inspired by that. I also want to bring to the forefront and have you talk a little bit about that. Here's a part out of the book. The luckiest reminds us that control over anything beyond what we can emotionally or physically manipulate in the current moment is perhaps life's grandest illusion of all. And I had to read that a couple of times to really have it sink in. Then I thought about it. I'm thinking, yeah, Monday you think you're going to, you know, I'm up for a job promotion, or I may, I'm going to ask for a pay raise. I think I'll put an addition on the house, whatever those goals may be. And in the book, I guess you're relating to stuff like that, you know what? We may not have control over all of that. And whether it affects you physically or otherwise, the fact of the matter is that in the larger scope, it's all a grand illusion. If we achieve certain things in life, good for you. If you didn't, you're still here on this earth. You still got a pulse. You know, I guess, and I want you to correct me if I'm wrong, but you get the sense that basically what this quote is saying is, you know, you don't have control the way we think we have control of our lives. But you know what? At the end of the day, if you're still here, it's still a pretty good life. And, you know, to think that you can control every moment 24/7 is totally an illusion. Am I kind of, does that sound?
You are spot on. So I am a recovering type A, Enneagram 3 control freak.
Welcome to the club, Kelly.
And so this has been, this is a lesson that I'm still having to remind myself of constantly. I feel like I'm constantly battling this perception of control. And the reality is the only thing we can control is what we are doing in this very moment. And we can only control ourselves. And even then, sometimes that feels out of reach. And so I think that one of the ways that we can find contentment or maybe even happiness is when we accept how little control we actually have in our life. And it is, you know, it is this sort of radical release of that control and recognizing, you know, in any situation, there is what you can control and what you can't. And, you know, I couldn't control my careers, or I couldn't control the makeup of my family, but there were certain pieces that I could control. I could control the way that I was thinking about it. I could control my actions in any given day, and finding the pieces that I could control, even in the widest universe and these asteroids that are just sort of falling to my feet and cratering the world as I know it, I still have control of the way that I navigate around those asteroids. I still have control over the way that I treat other people. I still have control of the way I react to different situations. And so that, yes, control is a major theme of this book, because it is a huge part of my life and something that I battle regularly, but I do believe that I am personally happier and more content when I relinquish and release that control and just and focus on what I can.
I'm so, because I said, as I said, as you were talking, I too am a type A and love control, and it's very frustrating. And sometimes it's almost impossible to cope with having to let even just a small sliver of that go. It's like, if I can't have say in that, if I can't be the one to develop this, if I can't be the one to lead this, it won't be right. It won't be to my liking. And that is a major handicap in the long run. I'm not saying you shouldn't take leadership roles. I'm not saying you shouldn't take the lead on certain things in life. Absolutely, it's your life. But by and large, it can be very it can be paralyzing, to say the least.
Mm-hmm.
In the few moments that we have left, I get the sense, and I want your input on this. I get the sense that each time that you write, because many of your books have been personal from the very start, the nature of the books, what things you've gone through, what you felt inside, most importantly, that this was therapy for you, writing this book.
Oh, 100%. And there are studies out there that talk about how when we write something down or when we verbalize it, you are actually moving, these amorphous, ambiguous thoughts from one part of the brain to another where we can process it. This is not a unique experience to me. It's why so many therapists tell people to journal. There is something so wonderful and therapeutic about confining emotions and thoughts to a piece of paper or to a screen. And typing or writing that out or verbalizing it, it really does help us confine and express something that would otherwise be terrifying or destabilizing. And when we can confine it and look back on it, we can really start to work through it. And so there's no question in my mind, writing is my best form of therapy. And I highly recommend it to anybody else. It doesn't mean that you have to then go out and publish it.
Right. It'd be nice if we could, especially if it was a bestseller. But the fact of the matter is, it's getting it off your. It's like expressing yourself is also a way of taking this great weight off your shoulders. At least that's how I feel about it. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't agree with you more. Again, the book, The Luckiest, A Memoir of Love, Loss, Motherhood, and the Pursuit of Self. And I think those last words really sum it all up. The pursuit of self, knowing who you are at some point, before this journey here on this earth has come to a conclusion. It would be nice if I look in the mirror every day going, who are you? So I'd like to find out when it's all said and done. And I think it gives you some closure. But anyway, with that said, let me ask you, if people want to post questions, comments, find out a little bit more about you, is there a website, a Facebook page? Is there a way people can reach out to you?
Yeah, absolutely. My website is KellyCervantes.com. You can reach me on Facebook or Instagram at KellyGC411. And I also have a newsletter on Substack that you can find by searching up Kelly Cervantes.
Terrific. Again, the book is The Luckiest, A Memoir of Love, Loss, Motherhood, and the Pursuit of Self. Kelly Cervantes, thank you so much. Any questions about the broadcast, you can certainly give us a call here at the studio. It's the WICN. Our main number is 508-752-0700. You can pose any comments, questions, or feedback to me directly. Just keep it nice. That's Al Vona, V-U-O-N-A, at WICN.org. For the Public Eye, this is Al Vona. Thank you so much for tuning in.